Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We are Flipper, the Family Law Practitioners Association of Queensland. Family law is a wonderfully rewarding career, but is not without its challenges. Join us as we explore the issues that impact on the practice and well-being of family law practitioners. We hope our episodes will not only inform and inspire you, but encourage you to reach your potential. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Flipper Talks. My name is Shannon Dakin from Dakin Family Law, and on behalf of the Flipper Board, I'm excited to welcome to the mic three experienced practitioners who will be well known to many of you in our beautiful Sunshine State: Judy Stewart, Louisa Riley, and Erin Shaw. Judy Stewart is the Director of Stewart Family Law. She started the firm 15 years ago in 2011. Judy is an accredited family law specialist, mediator, arbitrator, and parenting coordinator. Judy was admitted to practice in 2003 after an earlier career in social work, including working at the court as a family consultant. Louise is a founding director of both O'Reilly Shaw Lawyers and O'Reilly Shaw Mediations. Louise has practiced as a solicitor since 2006, has been an accredited family law specialist since 2015, is a collaboratively trained professional, and is a nationally accredited mediator and approved family dispute resolution practitioner. Louise is also a parenting coordinator. Erin is also a founding director of both O'Reilly Shaw Lawyers and O'Reilly Shaw Mediations. Erin has been practicing in family law for more than 17 years and holds an applied master's in family law. Erin is a trained collaborative lawyer, parenting coordinator, and mediator. Judy, Louise, and Erin join me today for our episode. So, you want to start your own family law firm? Ladies, welcome to Flipper Talks, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So, all of these wonderful women have been trailblazers in their own right, starting their now successful family law firms from scratch. Judy, you started as a sole practitioner. Tell us some of the reasons why you took the plunge to put out your own shingle.
Thanks, Shannon. Well, I'd undertaken the practice management course about 5 years earlier, and it was soon to run out. And it was sort of then or never. And it was around the January in the 2011 floods. And we had some friends staying with us whose house had flooded, and we were sitting around every night having a few drinks and chats, and I was telling them that I was trying to make the decision of whether to go out on my own or not. And they really gave me the encouragement. One of the friends had his own business, and it was just the support of other people really that gave me the confidence to go out on my own. Luckily, I didn't think about it too long, because I think if I had, I wouldn't have never have done it. And probably if I knew how hard it actually is, I probably never would have done it. But I'm very grateful I have. And there was a lot of planning that went in between that January and the April when I started. But the actual decision was just a leap of faith. If I'd overthought that, it would never have happened. So, yeah, that was just dive in at the deep end, but then a lot of planning in a very short period of time to get myself going.
Oh, wonderful. And Louise and Erin, you partnered up some years ago now, starting O'Reilly Shaw Lawyers with just the two of you, and now you head up a bustling firm with a number of senior and junior practitioners. Mm-hmm. Tell us what made you both take the leap.
You go, Erin.
Thanks, Lou. So for me, I think I kind of knew that I would always have my own firm in some way, shape or form. I think I was pretty entrepreneurial since I was a kid, always inventing a business or a product or doing something to make money. So it kind of seemed logical to me, but having been uprooted from Sydney with a couple of young babies kind of disturbed my career plans, and so not really sure what that would look like if I had stayed in Sydney. So I kind of landed in Brisbane and had to re-establish myself as a family lawyer in a new city. And I had the very great fortune of landing on the first day at then Rice Norton McCarthy with Louise, who was on her way back from maternity leave. And we very quickly realised that we had a lot of working synergies and a lot of personal synergies and aligned goals and approaches to life, but also to family law. And Louise take it from well, there. That's my
comment. Yes. Well, similar to Erin, I always, maybe always knew is putting it a bit high, but always suspected I would either go on to become a partner of a firm or to start my own practice. And as Erin said, Erin and I met, I think it was my first day back from maternity leave after having my second child. So quite serendipitous that we would meet in those circumstances. And we hit it off pretty quickly. It sort of coincided with a period of my my career where I was really reflecting on how I wanted things to look so I could juggle my career and my family commitments. And started thinking about what steps I would take at that time. And then Erin and I started our practice. It was shortly after I'd returned from maternity leave with my third child. There was a break in there. And
I'll never forgive you for going on maternity
leave. No, that's right. I've
been living by myself for 9 months.
And prior to that period, what had happened was we developed a friendship. We had started working together on
cases.
Yeah. We worked out that we really clicked and were able to support each other and jump in and out of each other's files very seamlessly. And so it was quite a natural transition that we would, if we were going to do it, you know, it was the right time. We, you know, seemed to be like the perfect match, if I may say, in terms of business relationship, and we just decided to give it a go.
But I think, as Judy says, it's a really good point, Judy, that it's a leap of faith to actually do it.
Yeah.
So whilst personally speaking for myself, I kind of knew on some level that I'd do it, and there was an awful lot of planning that went into place for Louise and I for some time, mostly after the kids were in bed late at night.
At the kitchen table.
Mm. But that actual point is a leap of faith, Judy, isn't it?
And absolutely.
You can't overthink it.
No.
Because also you don't know what you don't know.
That's true. Thankfully.
Luckily
you don't know what you don't know. So there's a range of opportunities out there for senior practitioners these days. So working your way up or in or joining a large firm, considering a salaried role versus an equity role, starting as or remaining as a sole practitioner, partnering up with other practitioners and building from the ground up. I'm interested in what were some of the considerations for you that led you down the path that you took. And I'm also really interested about the team of advisors that you put around yourself to set you up for success. Erin?
Well, what was the first part of your question?
We'll take it in the first part. So what were some of the considerations that led you down the path, as opposed to maybe hunkering down at a firm and building your way up to partner or getting into one of those types of roles? What were some of the considerations for you that led you down your path to partnering up with Louise?
Probably for me being the master of my own destination.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big consideration for me. And also the creative aspect that comes of building a firm from the ground up. Both of those things appeal to me hugely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm interested, was there any considerations around your work-life balance and things like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Louise, I know you might want to talk a bit more to that, because I know that was certainly integral to the decision on your end, definitely.
Mm. Definitely. So, look, I'm a fairly considered person. When I decided it was time for me to do something different, I considered my options and sort of there were lots of journals involved, lots of going through the pros and cons of different models. But certainly what the driving force was at the time was to have flexibility and to be able to attract clients who I enjoyed working for, and to, you know, have the casting vote in terms of what decisions were made in relation to the setup of a practice. That was all very important to me at the time. So,
I just want to touch on that aspect of flexibility, because when we started, and certainly when you started, Judy, the flexibility that looks normal these days in a firm didn't exist back then.
Mm.
So you might have been lucky to be able to work a day a week from home, but there certainly weren't Teams meetings, Zooms, there certainly wasn't court via video link.
Mm.
And so at that point in time, I think we were certainly craving a far more flexible way to work. But I think law firms are really lucky these days in the way that we are able to work. Mm-hmm. But certainly back then that wasn't the case. So that was a big influence for us.
And in terms of, you were saying before, a lot of planning went into the path that you two took.
what were some of the advisors that you put around the table with you to set you up for success?
Funnily enough, we didn't have a lot of formal advisors at the start. Mm. We both have fathers who are, you know, they were both involved in different business pursuits, and they were really helpful in the early days, sitting down, giving us ideas about how to go about planning, what the considerations were. But certainly as things started to take off, then we started bringing different advisors into the mix. So it just started off with the basics. You know, we, I guess, advisor, you know, if you count sort of IT professionals and marketing accountants, you know, they were all people who we used very quickly because we knew those were particular functions that were outside of our skill set. Mm-hmm. But certainly as time has gone on, we've brought more formal sort of business consultants into the mix, and they have just provided a wealth of knowledge and certainly, you know, given us different concepts to think about and experiment with. And, you know, that really has helped shape the business that we have today.
Yeah. We have been really deliberate about that, dedicated to that. We've had consultants sit with us in the business for quite a while. Mm. And then we've also been really fortunate enough to have previous employers, people that we've worked for actually, who mightn't be doing it themselves anymore, but who have really helped us with a lot of their learnings and a lot of advice. So the support around us from people that we've worked with previously has been really incredible. But we've been very disciplined about taking advice, because we know our skill set.
So it frees you up to do what you do best.
Definitely. And certainly I agree with what Erin's saying. Our previous employers were all very supportive, but also professional colleagues were enormously supportive during that period and gave us, you know, a real head start in terms of things to think about. So, you know, we probably did avoid making a few mistakes in those early days thanks to the wisdom that others were prepared to share with us.
Absolutely, especially the female practitioners like both of you as well in Brisbane. It's such a supportive community, I think, of all the women who have started their own firms.
Yeah, we're very lucky. There's some real richness there to everyone that's practicing and have been practicing for a while. People like Judy can reach out to each other for support. I think it's really integral.
Absolutely.
We're really lucky where we're even placed in the same building and we have a lot of support in that building. But I had the same experience that I'd worked in two small firms, and it was, for me, it was just a natural progression to start my own small firm and build it from the ground, like the two female principals of the firms I'd worked at had, and who I admired and who were great family lawyers. And likewise, luckily, I left both of those previous firms on very good terms. And when I started, they were very supportive and they referred me a lot of their overflow sort of work. So that was great to get going. I think I had this idea that I'd just get all this work through Google, and I don't think I've ever really got work through Google, maybe more recently. But luckily, I had all that source of work because it didn't come from anywhere else and I've never advertised. So it's been just from all the other firms and particularly those previous employers in the beginning. And the other thing that was lucky for me, I did obviously the practice management course, and I really took on board all of that information that the Law Society helpfully gave and checklists. And one thing that always stuck in my mind was they said, if you want to kind of have a successful long career with this, to start and have room for growth. So I never did anything on the cheap or on the small scale. I took rooms straight away, and I took rooms where I could expand, and I had an office manager right from the get-go and had a lot of external supports, and I used the same sort of third-party supports that my previous employer had, like an external bookkeeper, accountant, IT professionals. So I had a lot of that all in place, and that was very helpful.
And so with every job, there's some challenges, some being very unique to a small business owner, particularly in our industry. What are maybe some of the challenges that confronted you early on, and what were the more recent things that you've been continuing to work on? Louise?
In the early days, probably the biggest challenge was working out all of the things that needed to be done to operate a firm, and then working out how we would do all of that ourselves, and, you know, at what point we would start using external consultants or hiring employees to assist us to perform those functions. So that was certainly the biggest challenge in the early days. In terms of as the firm has grown, probably the more recent challenges we are having are around how to develop systems that can cope with a much bigger team. So what served two people doesn't serve 16 people anymore.
Yeah.
Because every time you introduce a system, it requires a lot of research, it requires a lot of trial and error. You need to, you know, work out where things are going wrong and consult with the relevant staff members or, you know, stakeholders, as whatever the case might be. And so all of that is just enormously time consuming. And probably the other aspect of what is challenging is developing leadership skills, where you learn from going about being, you know, just focused on your own practice to how do you get a team to work well together and bring out the best in everyone.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Judy?
Yeah, I think my biggest challenges remain the same, is the balance between sort of workflow and staffing levels and when to take on new staff. And I've never found it more challenging than it is in the current environment to find experienced solicitors in particular. It's very challenging. I've been very lucky though with the staff I've had. Most of them have stayed with me for a very long time. I'm very lucky to have had Tamika with me most of the time. So it's almost like I have a business partner, which I'm very grateful for. But that is the challenge, is for me, is knowing when to bring on a new staff member and not overworking the current staff, but not having them sitting around too idle and a bit bored either. It's just a constant balance.
And so moving on to some of the good stuff now, tell us about the perks. What are the best things about running your own law firm? Erin?
Lots of things, but one thing that springs to mind, Shannon, is, again, in this theme of being the master of my own destiny and creativity, if there's something that I see that I'm interested in, that I want to try, that I want to learn about, that I want to qualify in, I can go and do it. I don't need to ask. I don't need to make a business case for it. And that's enabled me to do things like parenting coordination, mediation, and other learnings. If Louise and I see something that we think is interesting, helpful, then we can do it. And I really like that.
Judy, what are some of the perks?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me too is feeling like I don't have to ask permission. I can choose what I want to do. My work is my absolute passion, so it never feels like work. I love it. I've never worked harder, though. I work very big days. I try to avoid weekends. It's rare for me to have to work a weekend, which is great. But I work big hours during the week, but I don't resent that. I absolutely love the work.
Louise, what are some of the perks from your perspective?
Well, Erin and I are very aligned on this. I love being able to pursue things that interest me and attract clients who I think, you know, are aligned with me. But it's not such a perk, but I really love being able to, if I see a problem, get in there and fix it in the way that Erin and I think it should be resolved. We obviously, you know, talk to our staff about that, but that is a freedom you have as a practice owner or a partner, that, you know, obviously if you are not in that seat, you don't have that level of control. The other advantage is probably flexibility. My work schedule has changed that many times. It changes from week to week. And that is, you know, enormously beneficial depending on what is happening in life at that time. But that's not to say that it's, you know, like what Judy says, you'll never work as, you know, hard as you will in your own business. Erin and I work very hard in our business, but, you know, I guess we work when it suits us and, you know, when we feel we're able to produce our best work and, you know, balance other commitments.
Most of the time. But sometimes as the business owner,
you need to work when it's really inconvenient. You actually can't work. You just have to invent the time or the hours to work. So it's kind of that, you know, what is the perk of flexibility? Sometimes as the business owner, it's the complete opposite, and you are at the mercy of the beast that is the firm or the staff who need you. So
the tail starts wagging the dog.
Sometimes. That's right, Shannon.
So I think our listeners would be interested in getting the scoop and finding out some secrets of success. So there's a couple of questions here. What do you think has been integral to your success in starting your own law firms? And what do you wish you knew then what you know now that may have made a world of difference to a fledgling firm? So, Judy, something that's integral?
I think what's absolutely integral for me is the people I've surrounded myself with. I've been so fortunate. In the 15 years, I've only had two office managers. You know, that's been great to have that consistency and that support. Like I said, I've had Tamika Slee with me for most of the time, and we work very well together, and we've got similar ways of working. And on the rare occasion I do get to have some time off, I know the firm's in safe hands. But, you know, I've always got one eye on my emails almost 24 hours a day. But, yeah, definitely for me the success has been the people that have been around me, and lucky to have a very supportive husband who also has his own business, so I can – he's not in law, but certainly with business ideas, he's always willing to listen and to offer support. So I think it would be very difficult for people if they don't have – the support of staff and family around them. I certainly would have found that very difficult. So that's absolutely, I think, the secret to the success of my firm is the people around me.
And what's one of the things that you wish you knew then that you know now?
It's almost the opposite. I'm glad I didn't know what I know now.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, that's really the big takeaway that sticks in my mind. I actually, when I reflect, I think, how on earth did I ever do this? I think if I knew everything that I know now, I probably wouldn't have had the courage to take the leap. So I'm kind of glad I didn't know.
Louise?
I agree with Judy. I think, you know, Pete, like, your relationships are everything in business. So Aaron and I, you know, have, you know, quite a remarkable working relationship. We are so aligned in both our values and the way we work professionally, and that has meant that working together, we've really been able to probably achieve more than we could have on our own. And certainly there are times where, you know, you can't do everything and you need that other person to step in for you or someone to step in for you. And with Erin, it's been seamless. So very grateful for that relationship. But yeah, certainly we had people in the early days who believed in us and gave us, you know, that push. So that probably made a big difference. And each step along the way, surrounding ourselves with the right people, having excellent people in our team has been, you know, I suppose something that has helped us get to where we are as a practice.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Definitely credit our working relationship for how we've been able to build the firm and what we've been able to achieve in this amount of time. And also just having somebody to rely on, as you were saying, Judy, if you're away, you know, the firm is in safe hands, but also somebody who keeps you curious, motivated, inspired, accountable, all of those things. We just work and bounce off each other so well that it feels like we both have an insatiable appetite for learning and curiosity and trying things and mastering things. And I just feel so grateful that we have were able to meet on that serendipitous day on your first day back from mat leave. And it just continues to be really rewarding and really fun. I've had a lot of fun.
And it's something that I think from my perspective that I see in all three of you is this appetite for continuing to hone each of your crafts, learning more, liaising with people more, collaborating. It's a credit to all of you. I think there can be a real, I suppose some people could just say, well, I've done it now and I'll, you know, have the staff and I'll keep going, but it really is a credit to you as the leaders of your firms
to continually be saying, let's do things better, let's improve our systems, let's learn, let's hone our craft. And I think that's a wonderful thing to see in each of you.
Oh, thank you, Shannon. The same can be said for you.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. So as we wrap up, I'm really interested to hear your final thoughts and any reflections on the journeys that you've had and the path that lies ahead as well. And any advice for our listeners who may be considering taking the leap themselves. Louise.
Oh, where to start? Look, I think if you are looking to start a practice, you know, there is a, I want to say, you have to be able to see that it is something that you will enjoy. So there is an element of, you know, I suppose risk assessment at that stage of making the decision. You've got to think about what's really involved in it and be comfortable with the fact that things are going to go wrong at some point, or rather I should say when one thing goes wrong, usually five things will go wrong at the same time. So you've got to be very comfortable with, you know, constant change and constant problem solving. But equally, like, you have to be able to believe that you're going to enjoy it, because otherwise why would you be doing it?
Mm-hmm. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Erin?
Be prepared to work really, really hard. Be prepared to juggle, because it's not just file work that you're doing. So you've got to be prepared and like to do all of the other bits and pieces that come with running a business. But also be prepared to have a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun building this firm, especially in the early days, and it's a really great creative opportunity. So if you like to build something for yourself and if you like creativity and you like being able to build something yourself, I don't know, if that's for you, then you'll love it. You'll never work harder, but you'll probably also never have as much fun.
Yep. Judy?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Erin and Louise have said. I think also just, you know, make a plan, make your checklists, just keep putting one foot in front of the other, just keep making decisions. If you make a decision and you decide it's not the greatest, you can just make another decision. Just keep going. I think just believe and trust that it'll all be okay and it'll all work out, and surround yourself with positive, supportive, knowledgeable people, and just give it a go and keep on going.
Some very wise words. Erin, Louise, Judy, a very big thank you for joining us and for sharing your journeys and learnings with our listeners. You've certainly given us a lot of food for thought and some inspo for those people out there who might be thinking of taking their first steps into setting up their own practice. On behalf of Flipper, I wish you all the very best for O'Reilly Shaw Lawyers, Stewart Family Law and your respective mediation practices. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks,
God. Thank you for listening to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We confirm that the information we discussed today was just that, information for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not specific advice. If something discussed has you considering whether you should take steps, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to Flipper if there's another topic you'd like explored, and if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them about it. Thank you for listening.